Good morning. We're going to look today, if you will turn in or get your Bibles ready, we're going to be looking at a number of verses today. We're going to be looking at the concept of being proactive rather than reactive. You know, that's not an uncommon concept for us. We do it all the time, or try to be proactive in so many areas in our life, whether it be our health. You know, it's a lot better for us if we are proactive and take good care of ourselves rather than trying to fix things when it all starts going south. It's a lot better. Gardening. Those of you, you know, this is the time of year where Stacy's got me out there digging holes and planting things and all that stuff. With gardening, it's a lot easier to be proactive and take care of things, preparing the soil, rather than just sticking something in the ground and then wondering, trying to revive something when it's halfway dead. Cleaning. As much of a joy as housework is, the laundry, the dusting, and it's just such a pure joy to do. Isn't it a lot easier to keep on top of things? Takes a lot less effort. It is so easy to just let it slide and start on. But isn't it a lot easier to stay on top of things than let it just go amok, and then it's almost like trying to take on Goliath the giant. You know, where do I even start with this room? I've been there. I've done that. Got a t-shirt but couldn't find it because it's in the mess. Cleaning. It's a lot to be proactive. Maintenance, say, of your car. You know, it's a lot easier to take that little bit of time, get a coupon out of the paper, get the oil changed, rather than replacing the whole engine down the road. The being proactive with things like that. Coaching, I would much rather, when I was coaching, I wanted that other coach to react to what I was doing, not the other way around. I liked to take it to them. Let him try to figure out, oh my goodness, what is he doing? We've got to change our game plan because of what? I'd much rather do that to them than playing scramble and try to catch up and doing things reacting to what they're doing. Spiritually. We need to be proactive spiritually. Not wait till judgment day and try to react when we find out, depart from me, I never knew you. Scat. I never even knew you. Trying to scramble then. We understand this idea of proactive. We repent of our sins. We take care of business. We are obedient than trying to fix things or clean up the mess that we've done after it gets real big. Where do you start attitude? We understand that. I want to look at some verses that totally reinforce this concept of being proactive rather than reactive spiritually. One of them is in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. It's a hard verse to do. It's not easy. Not always fun. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. If you go ahead and fall, you're reacting. Paul is telling the Corinthians to be proactive. take heed. Looking and looking in the mirror and truly assessing yourself, what needs to be done, that is a proactive situation. To be right with God, to stay right with God, rather than trying to untangle that spiritual knot that it's so easy to get tied up and caught up in. To take heed lest he fall. You know, it's not always fun to look in the mirror. In Bible class today and last Sunday morning, we looked at the verses, James, the first chapter, verse 19, about be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That was our lesson last Sunday, and we happen to be in that this week in our Bible class of James. To truly look in the mirror, to sometimes hear and look about yourself, it's not always fun. To see the areas in life that require change, to see the areas in life that need to be fixed. We see in Acts the second chapter, on the day of Pentecost, the brethren, as it said, devout brethren in Jerusalem, they did this. They truly looked at themselves. They opened up their eyes and hearts to the Word of God, and Peter preached to them a gospel sermon that Jesus was the Son of God and you crucified him. And in verse 37, it says they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. They truly took heed. They realized. They opened their eyes. They listened to the Word of God, and it took root. And they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Because of that, Peter responded, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." Every one of us that have been baptized, we're being proactive. We're repenting of our sins. We've been baptized. We're continuing to walk in the teachings of the Bible. We want to be found in Him. Not just know Him, but to be known by Him. To be in Him, not scrambling on the day of judgment. Well, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? And Jesus would say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. You practice lawlessness." There's going to be a lot of reacting on the day of judgment. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 22. Paul is writing to the Christians in Thessalonica, and he says, "Test all things." That's proactive. "Test all things. Hold fast what is good." You can't know. Christians can't know what is good if they haven't tested it in the Word of God yet. If you don't know the Scriptures, we can't do that. Abstain from every form of evil. Not the ones that are easy to abstain from. Not the ones that you want to abstain from. It's not buffet Christianity. We live in Las Vegas, Nevada, and there's a buffet on every corner. "Ooh, I really like this. Give me a double heaping of that. Ooh, I don't like that. Stay away from that. Ooh, I want some of this and I'll come back for..." It's not buffet Christianity. Picking and choosing. Paul tells them to abstain from every form of evil. Not the ones that are the easy ones to do, not the ones that are convenient. There is a lot of inconvenient truths in the Bible. There's a lot of inconvenient commands. Every one of them are good for us, but there are some inconvenient ones. Paul warns us, and it's proactive, abstain. Don't try to dig yourself out of the ditch once you're there. Abstain from every form of evil. And this was our scripture reading that Jory read to us today. This is, to me, who cares but to me, this is the verse that inspires me more about proactive than anything else is Daniel. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Ahead of time. The decision was already made. He didn't have to cross that bridge and make the decision every time something comes up. The decision was already made. This is what I will do. This is the way I will live my life. I will not defile myself. To where when something else comes, I've already made the decision. When this comes up, I've already made the decision. It's already cut and dried for us in the Bible. That we don't have to live our life day by day and react brand new to a situation because we've already made the decision. Daniel purposed in his heart, I will not defile myself. And he lived up to it. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It takes a lot of proactive activity, a lot of proactive prayer, raising a child. You train them up in the way that they should go. That they should go. Doesn't mean that there won't be pitfalls along the way. Doesn't mean that there won't be obstacles. Absolutely not. There is. This is a proactive. In this audience today, we've got a number of parents and children and even some grandchildren. We've even got some great-grandchildren. Train up a child in the way that they should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. We see in Jesus' parable of the prodigal son, the young man departed, had enough. The father raised him properly. He wanted to go off. And that's one thing about free will. We can't force. If we could force, but wouldn't that be nice? If we could just force our kids, duct tape them, and make them do whatever. God doesn't do that to us. Wouldn't that save a lot of heartache? It would have saved him sacrificing a son if he could have done that for us. Just force us. Put the magic wand, poof, you're going to all obey me. But that defeats the purpose because we choose to follow. When our children do what we have told them to do, maybe even if we're not there, how much more pleasing and satisfaction is there in that than if they're doing something because you're standing over them with the instrument of punishment, whatever that is. Belt, little stick, switch. My mom had a little bamboo stick that stung like the dickens. What good is it if I do what she wanted me to do if she's standing right over me with, of course I'm going to do it. But she tells me to do it, and if she's off someplace else and I do that because she had told me, that's us and God. If God made himself visible to us, hanging around us with a big old lightning bolt, raring to go, of course we're going to do it. I'm sure there would be a few knuckleheads. Oh, he doesn't really mean he's going to use it. There would be people like that. But they'd find out real quick that yes, he does mean it. Train up a child in the way they should go. That's proactive. It just doesn't come. And that's with anything. That's with anything with God's word, whether it's children, whether it's us, or whatever. It just doesn't happen. It takes effort. It takes a lot of work, a lot of sometimes tears. It takes a lot of prayer. But these words ring true. Train them up. And when they're old, doesn't mean they won't stray. But just like the prodigal son, when the son made his mind up to come back, he knew where to go. He knew where to go. Friends of ours, children, neighbors, brethren, they stray. They've been trained. Can't tell me that they haven't been trained what to do. That they haven't heard the word of God. But they stray. What if we are just like a leaf in the wind and blowing any which way, and they decide to return, but what when they return, it's not the truth. We train our brothers. We train our children. We train the brothers and sisters in Christ to where when they do straight, they know where to return to the truth of the Lord's church. And it's always there. And it's always healthy. And it's there for them. It's proactive. Matthew 18. Verse 15 says, moreover, and these are the words of Jesus. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. This is proactive. We were talking a little bit about this in Bible class this morning. You know, something comes between a brother and me. Go to him. Be proactive. Go to them rather than letting it fester. Letting it brew and stew. This goes for any relationship. Husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, children, parents, brothers and sisters in Christ. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Don't broadcast it to everybody that's willing to listen. There never seems to be a shortage of people willing to listen to the juicy, good stuff. Don't want to listen to the Word of God, but boy, they'll listen to the good gossip. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. That's being proactive. Not just burying your head in the sand and just letting it stew and brew and fester up. And then pretty soon, when one of you do go to the other one, it's blown out of proportion. It's gotten a lot worse than it should have been, could have been. And Jesus says, go to your brother. Inconvenient sometimes. Sometimes it's not a fun thing to do, to go and point out. Well, what if they get mad at me? What if this? What if that? We're told to go. We're told to go and go with the right attitude, with the right heart. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. If he doesn't, you've still done what you needed to do. Galatians, very similar. Paul's telling the Christians, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. There's a lot of implication in this. If we don't go to somebody that's caught up in sin, we're giving the message loud and clear that that's acceptable. That we don't see anything wrong with that. But also we're told how to go. Have you ever seen somebody, they got together with somebody else and afterwards, I sure got them told. I bet you did. And what was the good result that came out of that? How'd that work out? Go with a spirit of gentleness. And also to consider yourself, lest you be tempted in the process. Be tempted to fall into the path that they were, but also to be tempted in the path of not being gentle. Have you ever been coaxed into an argument? You have every, I'm seeing some, the heads that I'm seeing are shaking, they're married for some reason. They're shaking their heads. You don't have the attitude of wanting to argue, but all of a sudden, before you know it, you're in an argument. Considering yourself, lest you be tempted to go down the wrong route, to go down the wrong road and to get caught up in an argument. Stay that gentle spirit. Matthew 25, Jesus gives a lesson starting in verse 1. Talk about proactive. Proactive to serving God. Proactive to preparing yourself for the kingdom and its sake. Jesus says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins who had trimmed arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. This wasn't about a wedding and lamps. It's a story about being prepared to serve God. In the time that you have available, being proactive to prepare ourselves for the work of the kingdom. Because there will be a time when it's too late. And we can't ride in on the coattails of others. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if grandma could have done all the work for us? And we just oh, grandma was such a good lady. She taught Bible classes for umpteen years. Wouldn't it be nice to just ride her coattails in? Wouldn't it be nice my son does so much. My son's a preacher, you know. I don't do nothing, but I get a lot of mileage because my son's a preacher. Wouldn't that be nice? You can't do that. This parable here, we've got to prepare ourselves. 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul warns, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Proactive. Don't hang around the bad people. Don't try to slog along through the mud and not let it splatter up on you. A very similar Old Testament passage of the same thing. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. Kiddos that are in school. Righteous, the good people choose their friends carefully. You kids that are in school, make sure you teach that to mom and dad. 2, choose your friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. You can't hang around bad kids or bad people and it not rub off on you. We need to be proactive in our spiritual growth. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't come. It takes effort. It takes opening up the Bible. So-and-so is so smart. They always seem to have a good Bible answer in Bible class. You know what? It's because they study. They're such a strong Christian because they're here. They're putting the effort into it. We need to be proactive rather than reactive, because that day of judgment is going to come as a thief in the night. And we don't want to be scrambling then to try to justify and be making up to God what we've known all along to do. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to repent, be proactive. Repent now. Repent from those sins. If it's a private matter between you and God, do it in your seat. Don't walk out these doors letting that sin continue in your life. If it's a public matter, if it's private, it's between you and God. But if it's involved others, involve others. Ask their forgiveness. Work and pray together to get past that sin. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, there's going to become a point in time where we're not going to be able to scramble I'll get baptized at the last minute. If you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, you're not saved. You still have sin in your life. Wash away those sins. Call on the name of the Lord. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. God gave a very high price for us to be able to do that. He gave His Son. We have advantage of that. Don't let that slip by. If you've been checking out some congregations here in town, there are some other congregations of the Lord Church here in this valley. If you've been checking some of them out and looking for a church home and would like to identify with us here at South Valley, let that be known. Whatever your need. When Colin leads us into the invitation song in just a second, come forward, let your needs be known. If you need prayers of the congregation, whatever you need, please come forward, let your request be known while we stand and sing. Let's stand.